Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
So we've been down on the Cubs all offseason, and there's a lot of reasons to. But hey, there's WoW. Did you hear? The Cubs signed up. They're not streaming. No, they're an actual cable company. They signed on with WoW.
No, they're a real cable company.
I'm not trying to disparage the streaming services either, though. I'm jealous of people that are able to cut the cord, but just making sure. So the Cubs announced today that they did have an agreement. No, it's not with Xfinity. Comcast, for you guys and for me, it is with WoW. This is a conversation for a different day. Like, I've got to have a drop-dead date, right? Because this is a big part of my job. I can't miss Cubs baseball games. I think... You have to set a date for yourself.
Opening day, right? It's got
to
be.
No, before that, because if you have to make a change, you need to make plans if you're willing to do that.
What do you end up getting? You're still with Comcast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Best service.
Is there an out clause? Have you talked to them about that at all?
Well, if I keep the internet, I'm fine. So I can downgrade and I'd still be under contract using the internet. So I don't know. See, I didn't even want to do that. But when we talk about Cubs offseason stories, that's what happens. That's one of the big negative stories, along with them not spending any money, not making any moves, after making all these promises that they would be changing things up. So for my other job, You Better You Bet, on radio.com, it's a sports betting show. So I talk about a lot of other teams. And yesterday, I actually spent a couple of hours going through the league, trying to make some projections, some teams. I like the over on this win total, like the under here, looking at potential Cy Young Award winners, MVP, home run leader, a lot of those player prop bets. And I'll discuss those as we get closer and closer to the season, and also on my show Early Odds, Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. right here on 670 The Score. So I want to be fair about this. And I think we all can agree that for the most part, the Cubs are still a very talented team. It's been going the wrong direction over the last couple of years. So the belief in this roster is waning. So, your big change is what? You have a new manager, and we're still trying to figure out what the value of a manager is. But the reason I think I can make a case to be optimistic, just at least have an open mind about the 2020 season, is the way I evaluate other teams around the league. And sometimes you can be a little bit too close to it. And you break it down every single day, and it's negative, 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 so you're expecting an awful season coming up. And I feel like that's kind of where we are with the Cubs. I want to start with the rotation, because I think the biggest issue with this roster, and yeah, there are many places to go, but the biggest one for me, the most impactful one, is starters 3 through 5. At this stage, what are you getting out of Jose Quintana, John Lester, and, I don't know, Chatwood, Mills, Alzolay, whomever that is? But if you look at the top of that rotation, going with Darvish and Hendricks, if Darvish can just stay healthy, If both of those guys can just stay healthy, I think that's a pretty potent 1-2. That's not the main reason for my case. When I evaluate other teams, I'm looking for outliers. There were some outliers in the 2019 season. The issue we talked about all year, why can't they win on the road? What is the problem here? This makes absolutely no sense. They are a dominant team at home, one of the best in the game, and they have been for a handful of years. 51-30 last year at home. 2018, 51-31. Before that, 48-33. 57 wins, 49 wins. Kick ass at Clark and Addison, but last year, for some reason, they could not win a game away from the friendly confines. And why was that? But if I'm evaluating the Cubs like I do some other teams around baseball, you still have talent on the roster, but you couldn't win any games on the road. Everything went wrong. If it's another team in baseball that I'm not spending hours and hours talking about most days, I would say that positive regression is coming their way on the road, that they're going to be much closer to a 500 team on the road. In previous seasons, when they were better, a better team. So last year I mentioned 33 wins on the road. Okay? Let's go before that. 44. In 2017, 44. When they were champions, 46. In 2015, 48 wins on the road. The Cubs were 33-48 last year. That's bottom 10 in baseball. The average was just below 500. Teams went, your average baseball team went 38-42 on the road. That's a 5-win gap right there, if they're just average. Can they do that? Can they be average away? Here's something else that jumped out, something that I like to take a look at. How'd you do in one-run games? A lot of times there can be some luck involved in the later innings. And you're thinking, well, Joe, of course they're terrible in one-run games. Look at all the leads they gave up late. They don't have a closer. They don't have a bullpen. I'm not arguing with you. But usually those things tend to balance out a little bit. The Cubs' one-run record is 26th in baseball, 19-27. 27 one-run losses. Your average baseball team goes 500. That makes perfect sense. Last year, the average was 21-21. Cubs had 27 one-run losses. Extra inning games. Sean, what do you think the average is in extra inning games if the sample size is 12 games?
6 wins.
6-6. Makes perfect sense.
Should have went to Harvard.
Weren't even prepped for that. It's common sense. One-run games, your average team last year goes 21-21. Your average team in extra inning games goes 6-6. The Cubs had the 27th best record in extra inning games with 4-9. So these three examples here. Awful road record, 15 games below 500, terrible in one-run games, bad in extra innings, 4-9, 27th best. If it's another baseball team and I'm taking a step back, I'm looking at these numbers and I'm saying positive regression is coming their way. They should be better. They should be better on the road. They won't lose as many one-run games. Now, if you're thinking, well, they're not going to repeat that home record, maybe. But it's not like 51-30 last year was an outlier. Because in 2018, they had 51 wins. Before that, 48, 57, 49. They've been dominant at home for a very long time. Here's my question to you. Are you buying my case for Cubs optimism in 2020? We are 1 month away from opening day. Are you buying my case at all? Would you like to add to it? What do you have for me? 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Text messages 67011. Text Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Tweets at Joe0670, at Joe0670. Other side of the glass, we've got Mike Chen and Sean Anderson. Sean's a big Sox fan. Mike's a big Cubs fan. Mike, I want to start with you. Are you buying anything that I'm throwing out there? You wanted the season to end 2 months before the season ended in 2019. Get Joe Maddon out of here. They just need a fresh start. So I find it hard to believe that you think this is a playoff team going into 2020 after not doing anything with the roster. But are you buying anything that I'm selling with this?
I can understand the road woes. I think that a lot of it actually ended up having to do with Joe Maddon's style. I think that Javi Baez said it best last week when he said that there were issues about being prepared for games. And I think that comes down to your manager. And I do think that there can be some correlation with, you know, getting what you believe is regression to the mean with all the other teams. But how many games is that really going to count for the Cubs? You're looking at, you know, 3, 4, 5 wins. I mean, is that really enough to push them over into that elite category? Are they going to beat the Dodgers in the NL? I still don't think so.
I think we're starting the conversation with winning the division.
Okay, so winning the division, I think when you look at the other teams, kind of depending on how Cincinnati holds up, I think they've definitely improved.
You think 90 can win this division? I do.
Oh, yeah. I think 88 can win this division. I really don't think that there's a dominant team in the division. I think they're all solid. I don't think that there's one team where you look and say, oh, wow, they're 100% winning the division.
Don't you think they could be 4 wins better?
I think so, which puts them squarely into the race. But I do think that there is some variation with the new manager coming in David Ross, and I think that that might be a difference. He's really never managed at this level before. And not even like an apprenticeship, you know, not even being in the minor leagues doing this. So to me, I think there's your margin right there.
And hey, I've been down on the Cubs. Most people have been down on the Cubs. I'm saying take under 86 wins. But I think a case can be made here. Sean Anderson, other side of the glass. What do you think? Are you buying into any of this?
I am buying into the idea that their away record isn't that bad. But I think it's all taken into the fact that I don't think their home record will be as good. So it's going to end up leveling out. And I want to also know why their record against or in extra innings 4-9 was so bad. So I looked at the 9 losses that they had.
Yeah.
And it mainly comes down to the bullpen. You get a outing from John Lester.
How many were Kimbrel?
I think 3 were. Okay. 3 of the 9 were. But you get an outing from John Lester in September against the Reds. He gives up 1 run, and then James Norwood ends up, you know, getting the loss on that one. But you have your starting pitcher go 5 innings, 1 run. It's not on Lester. That's on the bullpen.
Right.
You have Hendricks giving up 4 runs and then Kimbrel blowing one against the Cardinals.
Let's not give the offense a pass here and say those extra inning losses mostly on the bullpen. You're probably right, but Castellanos was the only guy hitting in the second half of the season.
Absolutely. And I think there's another name too, and it comes down to Cishek. And it wasn't Cishek really's fault, because one of them is, you know, Kimbrel got a guy on, and then there was also the game in San Diego that was an absolute nightmare where it was just like a ton of errors that were happening. Rowan Wick and David Phelps, and those guys couldn't throw walks. It was 3 straight walks in that game. And yeah, it was brutal. So I just think it comes down to the lack of hitting and the bullpen issues. I don't think that bullpen has been fixed, and I don't think the hitting's been fixed either. So I think we could see a better away record, but I think the home record's also going to suffer.
Probably more questions in the bullpen than a year ago, but I would guess more upside. I've asked Theo Epstein, when you're going into a season, what's the toughest thing to predict? And I've heard him say this before, and he said it to me that day. He said, the bullpen. You don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what you're going to get in the bullpen when you put that together. So yeah, you could say there are more questions, and I would agree with you. Your best bullpen arm is supposed to be your closer. I have zero faith in Craig Kimbrel going into the year, but maybe they find something in some of these other young arms coming up. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767 in Addison, Illinois. Andy, you're on the score. Hey, Andy.
How you doing? Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing good. What do you think about this? Am I making any sense? Can I sell you on some optimism for the 2020 Cubs?
Well, I just need to let it be known that I am a diehard, lifelong Sox fan. However, I do listen to the score every day, and I do know all about the Cubs, and I have rooted against them every game of my entire life. But what you guys touched on before about how the Cubs were losing, their away games, and how they can be such a big difference between home wins and those road losses. What you guys touched on, I think, is the fact that I think Joe Maddon had such a culture, for the entire team. You know, you see the Joe Maddon and the half a dozen guys getting on the plane with, dresses on, or maybe Hawaiian shirts or whatever, and everything is, everyone's cool and everything's good. But I think that maybe he gave them a little too much slack when it came to being on the road. And, maybe some guys go out, stay out a little bit too late.
Sure.
But when they're at home, they're in their own home.
So you think the move to David Ross can really help this team?
Well, I think being that he is obviously a former player and just out of the game, I think he sees, as an elder statesman of a team like that, and he went through it with these guys, I think he's the type of guy, the type of personality that, when it comes to getting off the plane and getting on the bus and getting to the hotel and being like, hey, listen, let's keep it early tonight.
I got you. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate the phone call. Interesting text from the 630. Hey, Joe, do you think the Cubs' home road splits have anything to do with sign stealing at home? It's pretty well documented. There's at least six teams besides the Astros and Red Sox. I'm not trolling. I'm a Cubs fan, Jim and Elmhurst. You know, that's something to watch for this upcoming season. I'm not just pointing out the Cubs. I'm just saying any team. Yeah, we've heard multiple reports. We've had people on the show saying, yeah, Astros, Red Sox catching all this heat, but we're talking about 8-9 teams at the very least. So that is something to watch. And now we're going to be looking for that moving forward with certain players. What are the home road splits? How about those home road records? I remember multiple times Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer on this station looking for an explanation for why they are so awful on the road, the 2019 version of this team. And it was tough. It was tough. 847, hey, Schwarber almost better than Nick Castellanos in the second half. Okay, he was good.
I had the same reaction. I actually have numbers for it.
Okay, go ahead.
The 51 games that Castellanos played, he had an OPS of 1,002.
Yeah.
In the 52 games to end the season, Schwarber had an OPS of 1,052. So he was
right there.
0.05 points better.
He just didn't go on the crazy run once Castellanos got here. Okay. Now, I said that, but what was missing was the other guys. Nothing from Baez, Bryant, Rizzo. That was the problem. Those are the guys you really depend on. And my question to you would be, well, those that did not give money to Castellanos said, that's not who he is. Is that who Schwarber is? Is that what they've been waiting for? And okay, now they unlocked something. They found the real Kyle Schwarber, or are we going to see some regression with him? Little reality check. That'll be interesting to watch early on.
Yeah, 19 of Schwarber's 52 hits in that 52-game span were extra base hits, too.
No, he crushed it. Absolutely crushed it.
Where I think it was, I'm doing math live on air.
So do you have the second?
But 37 of Castellanos' 68 hits were extra base hits.
Sean, do you have the second half offensive numbers, just like OPS?
Do you want for Schwarber or Castellanos?
No, the whole team. I'm just wondering about where all the other guys were. All of them. Just how much worse they were in the second half. Because that, I mean, the heart of the lineup, you were looking for it and you couldn't find it again and again. And yeah, the bullpen was an issue all season. 312-644-6767. So I'm looking at these crazy home road splits last year. The Cubs' terrible record in extra inning games, in one-run games. If you're being fair about it, I know they didn't add much in the offseason outside of Souza. If you're being fair, I think you can make a case that this team can be a little bit better. A little bit better than 84 wins. And that should be good enough to contend all season and maybe walk away with the crown in the NL Central. Yes, Sean?
So second half OPS for the 2019 Cubs was 777. Their first half was 788. So no real difference there.
But as far as the players, I meant.
Oh, specific players.
Like the heart of the lineup guys, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez. We'll get that for you coming back. 312-644-6767. Text 67011. Tweets at Joe0670. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Here's Bryant. Struck out his first two times up, then a laser to center field for a single in the sixth inning. And it's in the air to left field, and the Cubs have taken the lead. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You hate him. I don't care. I like Tom Bredeman. I like hearing his voice in games. Joe Ostrowski with you, 670, The Score. One thing I do know is I can't wait for baseball to start. One more month, people. Opening day, 1 month from today. This segment on The Score brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday when they host Illinois at 7 o'clock. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. If you're just joining us, I'm trying to sell you guys on some optimism because there's been a lot of negativity, and I'm not fighting against it. I've been part of that. I don't have high expectations for this season. I've been saying, it's probably under 86 if you want to bet the win total because of the holes on this team. Maybe Nico Horner's your opening day second baseman. I don't know what you're going to get out of center field. You're going to find something with Happ and or Almora. You still have Jason Hayward. Sure, I'd like Souza. I like Souza on the roster. Nothing to lose. Is the guy going to stay healthy? Because then he's a fine addition if you can find something there. Rotation, get the back end of it. Don't feel great about that. A lot of question marks throughout that bullpen. But I think there's some things, if we're fair about it, I mean, this is a very talented team, and they are rolling it back. And maybe the offense will be broken once again. But I think, you know, just because of regression, just because they were so terrible away from Clark and Addison, I don't think they can possibly be that bad again. A lot of this might come down to the bullpen. The least amount of time we spend on anything, right, Mike? I mean, Mike Chen, we were talking about this before the show started. They probably have the most holes, but outside of Kimbrel, we don't talk about it. My guess is because we don't have any answers.
We don't know anybody. I think, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago when you were hosting, you listed about 14 different names of potential guys that could be relievers.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at right now. Nobody knows who's going to be the seventh or eighth inning guy.
About Morrow.
Exactly. Oh, no. Let's not even get into that. You kidding me? He's hurt again anyways.
I know. No timeline either. Sean, you were looking up some numbers because we were talking about the offense in the second half of the year. Yeah, you had some production from Castellanos and Schwarber, and it felt like nobody else. Is that accurate?
Not accurate fully. Tony Rizzo fans will be happy. First half OPS for Anthony Rizzo was 903.
Good.
Second half, he was injured a bit, so less games, smaller sample, but 957. So big improvement there for Rizzo.
Man, why weren't they scoring any runs?
Well, here's where that comes in.
Okay.
Contreras, first half, 937 OPS. He did only play 20-something games in the second half, 756 OPS there. His replacement, Victor Caratini, in the second half, a 747 OPS compared to his first half, 879. Catching more games, probably more tired, not, you know, focusing on just one pitch hit at bats. So you get the injury to Contreras, that's where it hurts. And then the two guys that we have been talking about, you know, pretty much all offseason about getting extensions, Chris Bryant in the first half, a 955 OPS, second half, 829. Baez, first half, 881 OPS, second half, 777.
Man, I feel like we've spent very little time talking about Baez's subpar season. Because he can dazzle you so much in the field. He's a fan favorite. So much discussion about trading Bryant, extending Bryant. What do you want to do there? Unless I'm missing it, it feels like Baez hasn't come under fire at all.
Well, and
for last year.
It's because he's a fan favorite. And that's the thing. That was the argument I was trying to make this offseason, was that if one of the four was going to go, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, Contreras, it had to be Javi Baez. Because you look at Anthony Rizzo, he has more value to this team from within the
organization. It's an Abreu conversation, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, Anthony Rizzo is a better player than Jose Abreu, but still, he is valued more inside the organization than he is outside. Wilson Contreras, that's a premier position, a premier player. As long as he stays healthy, you can't find a better catcher. Bryant, pretty much the same way. He's a top five third baseman when healthy. Baez, with his inability to get on base, and that's something that this front office preaches, it is so concerning, and he is valued outside of this because of exactly what you said. He will sell jerseys. He will sell highlights. He will be such a nice face for teams to promote. If they're bad, he should have been the guy that should have been out of town this year. And you have Horner coming up. You don't have a second base option, but typically you can have subpar players at those positions. I know he's made the shift over to shortstop, but I truly think Baez should have been the guy that was gone, if anything. Bryant shouldn't have been in the conversation.
So we know that they're going to go righty-lefty, even more so because of the new rules. You're going Bryant-Rizzo, but they didn't want to go past that. They didn't want to tell you who's going to be their number three hitter. If you want to say it'll be Contreras, okay, Baez, that makes sense. Schwarber hitting cleanup. Maybe they're going to slide Baez down the lineup a little bit. And if Sousa's healthy, he could take some appearances up there. Wonder if we're going to see Baez go down to fifth or sixth. That's terrible, man. He's supposed to be one of your premier hitters, and he had an OPS of 777 in the second half, right? And didn't do much in the first half either.
Remember, he was injured in the second half as well with this thumb. So you have to take that into account. I mean, hand injuries just
But he wasn't spectacular in the first half.
That is true, but hand injuries just completely drain your power, though.
But along with that, he injured his hand and then missed a ton of time and then didn't play. He was shut down after he tried to play. I think it was the last home game here. He came out, had that pinch hit at bat, and then popped up, and then that was pretty much the that we saw from Javi Baez.
Well, I would think that the microscope will be on him this year because we're getting closer and closer to the end of his control, the ARB years, and they're already talking. That's what the reports have said. They're already talking about a long-term deal. 312-644-6767. If you want to jump in, 312-644-6767. Yeah, I mean, do we give him the entire year for that injury? I don't know if we want to do that.
Well, I don't think we've heard too much about his hand injury, so I think it's going to be fine, the thumb. But at least to talk about where he might bat in the lineup, I think fourth is actually the spot that he's going to go. You look at last year, that's the spot he performed the best in, outside of batting seventh, but he batted
But don't you think they're going to want to go righty-lefty to start things off?
I think that a case could be made there, absolutely, but at least if we're looking at what they did, he had 107 runs created plus batting third and then 125 batting fourth. So it seems like his best spot is fourth, and while you could go righty-lefty, you would start righty-lefty. I mean, you can go righty again, or you can go lefty again, or righty again with Schwarber or Contreras, and pretty much I would just split it up into three segments because you get three outs. So I would then look to Baez as your, then second leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Batting fourth.
I'm trying to think as we're making a case, since we're in a positive mood tonight, thinking about opening day 1 month away, I'm wondering, is there anybody that we're missing? So yeah, we should talk about the core and what those guys are going to do, but is there anybody else that we should be talking about? Did we already see David Bodie's ceiling? Descalso couldn't have been any worse. I don't know if he's going to get an opportunity to do anything. Maybe Jason Kipnis just takes that second base job, and he's okay near the bottom of the order. Maybe. That could be. I'm not going to sell anything on Jason Hayward. We know what we have in Jason Hayward at this point. You weren't getting anything out of Zobrist anyways. C-Sheck, they're going to miss that. He brought some stability to the bullpen. He did do that, and what happened? Joe Maddon overused him. Because why? Because, see, I'll actually side with Maddon on this one. Yes, he overused him, and that is his fault. And, of course, he's going to break down at the end of the year. But when he goes out to the bullpen, what's there? Joe didn't have a trust list. Can't wait to see how Ross operates. Is he going to have a short trust list like Joe did? It felt like at all times there were just a few guys that he really liked going to. I wonder if Ross Theo is going to operate like that with the bullpen. It'll be interesting. 312-644-6767. You've got the Joe O Show on 670 The Score. We got the Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, talking some Cubs with you. And top of the hour, I want to switch gears a little bit into some White Sox. Sean Anderson was alerting me to an interesting conversation with Carlos Rodon and his whole thought process. Why? He does not want to go to the bullpen. He has absolutely no interest in going to the bullpen. Open phone lines 312-644-6767. In Orland Park, we find Jason. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, I just want to make a quick comment about the talent the Cubs have and some of the issues they have. I think we've just had too much young talent all produce at the same time, which has just caused us to be in this financial situation that we're in. But one guy I don't think we can cut loose, you guys were talking about Javi Baez. He's just reaching his prime age of 27 right now. Back-to-back All-Star appearances, OPS plus a 129. And 113, and that was playing hurt last season. And obviously, people don't want to talk about it, but when you're playing without him and Contreras down the stretch, and you're our best pitcher the first half of the season, Cole Hamels is pitching hurt. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to win those games in September, and that's what happened, and lost some bad games by one run.
Well, Jason, hey. I think you're kind of adding to my point because I started the conversation saying that I think there's some reason for some Cubs optimism, and we're really not taking a look at that because we're just so down on the inactivity.
Exactly. If you put this same team in a different uniform and say we're starting from year one and these guys are playing, that they're most of these guys are reaching prime age now, yeah, you're looking at 2016, you're looking at 2017, all the success. Yeah. We had a bad year last year. A lot of things went wrong, but we got that same core back. Yeah, there's some questions in bullpen. In the bullpen, every team in baseball has those same exact questions.
Well, not as many as the Cubs, I would say. But that's how it is every single year. How many teams, I don't care how strong your bullpen is, how many teams are, and maybe that's what Jason was getting at, is how many teams are really saying, well, you know what? Our bullpen is set. We are 100% locked down. Well, do you have a good closer? That's a good starting point. But the rest of it, it's anyone's guess to try and figure things out. Let's go to Indianapolis. Joshua, you're on the score. What's going on, Joshua?
Well, not a whole lot. Since I'm not getting any radio coverage of the Cubs because they don't have an online broadcast, this might sound like a silly question, but since not having any Cubs coverage, I wouldn't know unless I ask it. But I read somewhere on MLB.com that Almora's swing has changed, and I wanted to know if you guys thought that that would possibly, you know, if you get your opinions on it, whether or not it's working or whether it isn't. And hopefully we can get some more radio coverage when the Cubs aren't on 670 The Score.
Well, we always cover the Cubs right here on The Score, as you mentioned there. And all 162 games are here on The Score. Do you want to buy into spring numbers? That's the question we have every single year. Do you want to buy, certainly Arizona too, do you want to buy into Arizona hitting numbers? He's been hitting so far, and he's gone through a swing change. If you're asking about the visuals, have I seen much? No, because because I don't get the Marquee Network like most of you listening right now. Sean, do we have Albert Almora talking about it, or is this Ross? Okay, this is Almora talking about the swing changes he's going through this spring.
Are the swing changes like second nature already? I mean, obviously, you're right. Are you?
No, I... yes and no. I don't know. I feel comfortable, and I'm not thinking about it when I'm hitting, which is a good thing. But at the same time, I am watching a lot of video after every game. My routines, I try to have crisp as possible, as much, you know, and little details is what I'm really focusing on. But I think if you talk to any hitter, you know, your swing is never going to be, you know, perfect all the time. But I just want my mind to be all right going into every at bat, and just trusting what I worked on before the games.
Do you think it's more of the physical adjustment or maybe the mental reset?
Both. Both, man. It's been a mixture of both. And like I mean, I may have had two good games, but I'm far from where I want to be, you know. And I could speak for all the hitters as well. This is day two of a 200-day marathon. So I just want to stay healthy and just have a great mindset the whole time.
You know, it's pretty interesting because I think Almora right now, we're at a point right now where we say, I'm not expecting anything from him at all. And part of the reason that Theo Epstein has talked about trading from the core, making some sort of a move, we assume to add to the rotation, we assume to add younger players under control for a longer time, it's because of the failure with some of those guys. The top draft picks that we thought were going to be here performing at a very high level for a long time include Almora and Happ. And right now, they're both penciled in center field. We don't know which guy's going to win the job, if either of them are going to have success this year. That's a big part of what's going on right now. Because a few years ago, you looked at Almora, you thought, wow, he's already contributing to a championship. Just imagine what he's going to be in a few years. That was Theo Epstein's first pick, Albert Almora, the guy that they really wanted. Just imagine what he's going to be. And he's been a major disappointment. And last year with Happ in the minors, he's been a disappointment as well. At Cubs convention, Epstein was trying to sell some optimism on Ian Happ. That maybe he's going to be okay. Well, if one of them hits, you're going to be just fine there. You feel good about center field. One of the big questions on this entire roster. In Oak Creek, Jerry is on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Good evening, Jerry.
Hey, Joe. I enjoy your program a lot. The Cubs are going to win between 75 and 79 games only because they will not win on the road, number one. And number two, their bullpen is first suspect. They're not going to be able to hold the lead in a lot of the games.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What'd you say?
Now, I got one more question for you.
Yeah.
If I come to Chicago area, once they get the casinos going, like Rivers Casino,
yeah,
am I going to be able to place a bet even though I live in Wisconsin, or won't I be able to do that?
So you live in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Okay. So you're asking if you go to Rivers and you sign up, can you bet once you're in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
No.
No, but I can bet in Illinois if I'm there in Illinois, right?
Correct. If you go there and you sign up, you get it on your phone, if you're inside the border, you'll be able to bet.
Okay, but once I go back into Wisconsin, I won't be able to bet.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate the phone call. It'll be geofence. That's what they call it. Man, we're close. We're real close. So Governor Pritzker said, it was a week and a half ago, that they're going to have sports betting for March Madness. And March Madness is coming up. I would think it would be in a couple weeks. And Jerry Metro Rivers Casino, one of the places granted a temporary sports betting license. So they're going to be the first or second book to open up in the state. I do think it's going to happen, but I keep looking for more news, and nothing's really happened this week. 75 to 79, boy, fire everyone. If this is a below 500 team, now the heat's on Theo. It's really on. Another non-playoff season. Maybe they are looking for lightning in a bottle with a few of these guys. Hey, Jeffress, can you give us something? Anything? Hey, failed fifth starter, how about it? Kimbrel? Entire offseason, entire spring, unlike last year, maybe? I don't think so. I'm not there with Kimbrel, but some of these other younger arms, sure. That's a possibility. I think Suze is the guy we're overlooking, Chen.
How did you know he was asking who?
Steven Souza?
What's
his,
that?
His mic was off. So you were saying someone's going to step up, and Mike Chen likes to talk without turning his mic on. And he was saying, who though? Who? And you just, you answered his question.
I had no idea he was saying that. Actually, I do. I've got it. I've got it bugged over there.
Well, I'm pretty loud anyways. Usually you can hear me through the
You glass. Are so down on this team. This is a night of optimism. You're not, you don't get that a lot from me. People tell me I'm such a hater, and I hate, I lost a Bears fan card I didn't know that I owned earlier today. Because I can't say anything bad about Ryan Pace. He's got all these fanboys, and some of them are sprinkled in throughout the Chicago media for some reason, which is very strange to me. A guy that's still, I'm waiting on his first playoff win. A year ago, they're telling me Super Bowl, you go 8-8, and it's still Ryan Pace fanboy. Okay, Chen, you're yelling who on the other side of the glass? Come on, none of these guys are going to come through. You're down on everybody. There's no reason to be optimistic
I'm
here
not
about
down
the
on
Cubs.
Everybody, I'm just
there. You are. It's a weak division too. There's no elite team in this division.
I know. I said that earlier, but I'm just until I actually see it. My big thing is that they've got a rookie manager and
David Bodie time.
David Bodie time. I don't feel as if David Ross is going to be able to come in.
I don't think David Ross is going to be an issue.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what tells
Theo's
you that he's
pulling
not
the strings? We all know it.
You don't think he's really going to do anything?
He's got
then?
The puppet show going on.
I mean, I could see that too, but
he's going to be telling them what to do during the games.
They're not allowed to do that,
right?
I mean, they're not supposed to. But okay,
I don't think a manager should be your top concern.
Well,
if we're going to criticize Joe, all the issues that he had,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, then I'm going to have to be very, very careful about what David Ross brings to the table. And I don't know. I mean, he hasn't really even done anything in spring because he's had some sort of flu going on right now as well. So we
you're not worried about the Ross flu in February,
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I would like to see him get out there and see how he manages the game. Nobody knows how he's going to do anything. I just want him to get out there. Then I can have a better idea of what to expect in the regular season out of David Ross.
Okay, you think there's no way you're going to get anything out of Souza? I know. Is he going to stay healthy? I know.
That's the big question. I mean, if he returns to 2017 Tampa Bay form, then yes, I would love to see that. He could potentially be the top of the lineup guy that everyone was looking for and then slot everybody down. But we don't know whether he can stay healthy or not. That's the big issue with Souza.
And yeah. I'm also not buying that his best season came at 28 years old. He's going to come back at 30, and he never hit above 800 OPS-wise in his career outside of that 1 year.
He is a fourth or fifth outfielder, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're not asking a lot.
I mean, you should be more hopeful about Albert Almora. And looking at his swing, it has changed. Not only does it seem like his approach is changing, but he's standing more upright, his stance isn't as open, his leg kick is less is more reduced, and he's less rotational as he's gathering. So he's at least making changes, and he is younger. I have more hope for Albert Almora Jr. than I do Steven Souza Jr.
At least a couple of years ago, you had the strong splits, just the power that he would bring to the plate against lefties, there was that at least. And it just all went away last year. That's the concern there.
Can I real quick go off on the first caller that called in the segment?
Go off?
Yeah.
About?
Javi Baez. Saying that, like, Javi Baez is so good and Javi Baez is now hitting his prime. It's ridiculous that these Cubs fans are so in love with a guy that
Hold on. He is good defensively. I don't think he said anything wrong there.
He's great defensively.
He's great on defense. He is hitting his prime, but what I would also say is, so is Chris Bryant, so let's not be in a rush to trade him.
Well, and also, he brought up his OPS numbers, but luckily he combined the 2 years of 2018 and 2019 to make it a 121 OPS plus, and, you know, if you just left out 2018, it would have been 113, which is much noticeable less than 129 when he was second in MVP voting. He was an All-Star last year, but he's also a fan favorite, so that doesn't count.
Yeah, the All-Star thing, let's stop. And yeah, that's, you know, half the year.
He was a 4.8 win war player. I think that's going down this year. He's sixth in outside the zone swinging. He's 10th in swing percentage in general in the MLB. He's first, leads the league in swinging strike percentage. He is fourth in first strike percentage. So guys know that he's going to swing at a ton of stuff. They get ahead in the count early by throwing strikes that are going to be in the zone because he's going to usually take first pitch. And he's 13th in walk percentage. And he's fifth all time in swing percentage. And the only elite hitter in the top 10 would be Joey Gallo. And that's the only name I could be nice. Miguel Olivo, Kelly Shopik, Russell Branyon, Jimmy Paredes, Willie Mopeña, Keon Broxton,
but,
Mike Zunino,
Sean,
Javi Garcia.
I
those
mean,
are the
man,
names.
I didn't know you're such a Baez hater. I had no idea. We've never talked about Javi Baez before. But those stats are nice, but none of that is new information. We know the type of player he is.
Yes, but I don't think the type of player he is 2018. I think people see 2018 and think, oh, he's going to be
That's
an MVP candidate. No, you're looking out. Away from all the other years he's played in the major league. That is the outlier. 2018 is the outlier for Javi Baez.
The anti-Bryant people will say that his MVP season was the outlier and that ever since that he's gone down.
But to argue that, there's been more injuries for Bryant, and mm-hmm. I think that he has a game that could hold up longer because he has a better eye.
I agree with
you. He's a smarter player, and he's got a better play discipline. And then people are going to call me out for being a White Sox fan. I would rather have Javi Baez than Tim Anderson. I'll say it right now because they're very similar.
That's not a hot take.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want people to think, like, oh, I'm just complaining because he's a Cub fan and I'm a White Sox fan. Yes, I would take Javi Baez over Tim Anderson. I'm just saying, I think Cubs fans overrate Javi Baez.
Okay, let me ask you this. Of the core four, would you rank him fourth?
Yes. I think.
Are you
thinking
about Contreras?
It's him and Contreras. I would Bryant, Rizzo, and then Contreras and Baez, because Baez has produced more, and I think his game will last longer than Contreras.
I want to add something you said earlier about Rizzo, and you mentioned that he's worth more to the Cubs than any other team. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I think that Rizzo has been so consistent over his entire career, we kind of forget. We don't look at his numbers. Like, go look at him. Pretty much the top of every offensive category, it's still Anthony Rizzo. And because he plays first base and, you don't have to be a great defensive player to be good enough at first base, we kind of look that over. Spiegs brought up the other week, and I thought it was a pretty strong point once I started thinking more about it. When David Ross came out and he said that Chris Bryant's the best player on the Cubs, Spiegs thinks Anthony Rizzo's the best player on the Cubs, and I think both sides have really strong cases. And many people are thinking, well, what about Baez? He's the best player in the Cubs. I would probably go with Chris Bryant, but I think a case can be made for Rizzo as well.
Yeah, I mean, he has a 138 OPS plus in the past 6 years.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's just consistency, time in, time out. He knows how to approach an at-bat. He's a guy that is very smart.
Yeah, no question. Open phone lines 312-644-6767. An interesting Sox story that we were talking about before the show got started, about a guy that you're not going to see on the roster in a month from now on opening day, but he's supposed to rejoin the team mid-season. Get to that next. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.